We now begin Maseches Menachos. This is the introduction overview for the Masechta. Maseches Menachos is the second of the Masechtos in Seder Kadshim, the first being Zevachim, and all things being equal, it's really worth your while to learn Zevachim first. This is the sister Masechta, but really it parallels Zevachim very closely, and the principles of Zevachim are essentially echoed in Menachos. Zevachim is the Masechta that deals with offerings in the base of English that come from the animal kingdom. That means cows, goats, and sheep, essentially. And there's also some birds are a possibility. The birds are not a technical zevach. They are dealt with. The korbanos, the olos of and chatas of, are dealt with in zevachim. Maseches Menachos deals with the offerings that are brought from the plant kingdom. And therefore, essentially, we're talking about flour from either wheat or barley, as well as olive oil, frankincense, which is a kind of like incense, a tree sap of sorts, and wine, okay, from grapes. So that is essentially the scope of the Masechta. And just as when it came to Zevachim, there essentially was, you know, many, many details, but there was the essential blood of Voda, those four steps of the, called the extraction of the blood from the animal and the application to the altar, the Mizbeach. Those four steps being Shechita, the ritual slaughter, Kabbalah, receiving of the blood from the animal into a klisharis, a consecrated vessel, holacha, bringing that blood to the mizbeach, and finally zrika, the application of the blood to the mizbeach. And those four steps, which are the essential ones, which are super sensitive even to wrong thoughts and so on, really have their direct parallel in Menachos. The Menachos are meal offerings, essentially, primarily, you know, flour-based offerings, and they essentially have the same four essential steps of the extraction of a portion of it, that's called the kamitza, and then the putting it into the klisharis, the nesina bakli, which is like the Kabbalah, and then the holacha, the bringing that portion of the mincha to the altar, and finally, instead of in the application, the haktara, the offering, the sensing, the burning of that portion of the meal, which is like the application of the blood. So it's a very similar setup. Menachos themselves essentially are meal offerings, like I said. They're all essentially comprised of flour, almost all from wheat, combined with oil typically, mixed together, sometimes cooked or fried, in which case there's also like water added to make it into a dough. And then frankincense is put on top, and then a portion is extracted as a kometz, put on the mizbech, like I described a moment ago, then the rest is either eaten by the kohanim or burned on the mizbech. Menachos are all kadshei kadshim, like the chatas and the asham from Zevachim, and therefore it's going to be eaten just by male kohanim in the azara, in the same kind of time frame of, you know, one day and the night that follows it, midrash till the morning and midrabban until chatzos. Really very similar to chatas or asham. Okay, and just as there's plenty preliminary and subsequent activities with the zevach, so too with the mincha, but the essential steps, which are done by kohanim, are those four essential steps on which kapara, if needed, is required, is ma'akev, is essential that you do those four steps correctly. So now let's just go through each of these ingredients and the different types of menachos and the basic recipes of them, so we get an idea of what's going on over here. That'll be our basic introduction here. First of all, in terms of the ingredients. So the ingredients, essentially, for almost all menachos is wheat flour. There are two menachos, namely the korban omer and the minchas omer, and also the minchas kanaos, or minchas sota, the sotas mincha. Those two are brought from barley instead of from wheat. But in general, it's wheat flour. It's solus. Solus means finely ground and then sifted, so you get all the bran out. So it's like the best portion of that flour. Then typically, the recipe requires a shiur, a quantity of what's called an isaron. An isaron of flour means, isaron means a tenth. It's referring to a tenth of the measurement called the Eifa. Eifa essentially is the largest of the volumetric measurements in Chazal. And we get detailed pretty quickly in terms of, like, you know, measurings and measurements. So let's just quickly go over that for a moment. The mnemonic to keep this in mind, and maybe just get a pencil out and write it down or whatever, so you can see it with your eyes one time, is Askalav, that's five letters, Aleph, Samach, Kuf, Lamed, and Base, which stand for the five basic volumetric measurements in descending order from the largest to the smallest, Aleph being the Eifa, Samach being the Sa'a, huf being the kav, lamed being the lug, and base being the beitza. Okay? And the second part of askalav gudu, the gudu part, gimel vav dalet vav, those four, essentially those are the number, gimel representing three, vav six, dalet four, and vav six again, of how many of the smaller units fit into larger units. In other words, so if we go from the bottom up, we have askalav, the last two are the lamed and the base, the lug and the beitza, and gudu, the last one is the vav gudu, is six. So there are six beitza, six eggs, into one lug, okay? And similarly, if you wrote it down in front of you, it'll be clear for you now. There are four, that's the dalet of gudu, there are four lug in one kav, and there are six kabin in one sa'a, and there are three sa'a in one eifa, okay? To get a sort of an intuitive idea of this, you can imagine the following items. I'm giving you now something which is a useful tool. It doesn't actually correspond precisely to any of the shitas, but it's in the middle of the shita, so it's a good, you know, mental starting point. A beitza is an egg, but you should picture sort of the largest chicken egg you ever saw. And it's, yes, a chicken egg, but a very jumbo chicken egg. So six of those make up the lug. The lug is essentially half a liter. So you think of like the 500 milliliter water bottles or whatever, small drink bottles, 500 cc, bigger than a Coke can, which is usually 330. But they're like a water bottle, the smallest of the water bottles. That's a lug, half a liter. And then the kav is like the large water bottles, the 2 liter water bottles. So there are four lugin in a kav. There are six kav in a sa. So a sa is like a six pack of 2 liter bottles. Okay, that's the sa. You can imagine that. You've seen a six pack of water bottles, large water bottles. And then there are three sa in one eifa. Okay, so again, imagine three six-packs stacked on top of each other. That gives the eifa. Okay, so essentially, large egg, half a liter for the lug, 2 liters for the kav, six-pack of 2 liter bottles for the sa, and three six-packs stacked on each other of to make the eifa. Okay, so if you do the math and you multiply all those numbers together, you're going to see there are 432 beitza eggs in one eifa. Okay, in other words, 4 times 6 times gudu, sorry. So it's, you're going to do 6 times 4 times 6 times 3, gets you 432. Okay, so a tenth of the eifa would be a tenth of 432 eggs. In other words, 43.2 eggs. Or if you're thinking in six packs of water, so to speak, so we had three six-packs stacked on top of each other was one eifa. That's going to be 3 times 6 is 18 water bottles, and a tenth of that will be 1.8 water bottles. That was 1.8 2-liter bottles, which is 3.6 liters, okay? Which is basically a gallon. So therefore, if you're going to get your head on all these ideas, basically the isaron, the tenth of an eifa, which is 43.2 eggs, essentially is equivalent of 1.8 water bottles, which is really 3.6 liters, which is really 1 gallon. So if you've seen, remember the gallon milk carton, the large milk carton, that's how much the isaron is, or 1.8, you know, 2 liter bottles of water. And the isaron is the amount of flour you're going to make for essentially all of the mincha recipes. Okay? The flour is finely ground, like we said. It is typically mixed with oil. The shemen of the menachos is always olive oil. No other types of oil is eligible. It's always olive oil. It does not need to be shemen zais zach, not zach kassis, not pure virgin olive oil. That's a requirement specifically for the menorah. But as Chazal say, Hashem was chas al monom shel Yisrael. God was had mercy on the pocketbooks, the purses of the Jewish people, and because virgin olive oil, the first pressing, is very expensive, he didn't require it for all the menachos. You need a lot of oil. Typically, the recipe for the oil requires one lug, again, lug being that half liter, so like 500 milliliters of olive oil, but it can be, you know, that not virgin olive oil, meaning olive oil that was extracted after you did the initial pressing, then you ground up the olives and the pits even, and then from that pulp squeezed out olive oil. It won't be perfectly clear, but it's perfectly kosher for use in your benachos. Okay, I'll go through the recipes, how it's mixed together, but typically there'll be balul, there's balila, you mix up the flour and oil. And then on top of it, typically you'll put frankincense, that's lavona. Lavona, or frankincense, is essentially tree sap from a specific type of tree called the boswellia tree. If you look at what frankincense looks like, essentially it's the color and size typically of yellow raisins, okay? Like think sultana, yellow raisins. And the luster, it looks kind of like if you've seen rock candy, you know, the crystallized sugar, it looks kind of like that. So it looks, in terms of luster and texture, like crystal sugar, if you will, because of dried tree sap, and the color and size, roughly speaking, like of golden, you know, yellow raisins, okay? That tree sap, frankincense, when burned, has a nice fragrance, and that's what you're putting on top of menachos typically. Okay, so those are your ingredients. If you're going to have a mincha which is cooked, either meaning it's baked or fried, we'll discuss the recipe shortly, then before you make the dough, you will not just have the oil and flour paste, you'll mix it with water, poshrin, you know, room temperature water, to make like a dough, and then the dough is made into essentially loaves of some kind, and then it'll be either fried or baked, and then afterwards more oil goes on top with lavona, and then that's, from that is where the komets, the kamitz, is taken to put on the mizbeach. Okay? So in addition to flour and oil mixed together, sometimes water to make dough, which goes away when you cook it, and then frankincense on top, when you actually apply something to the mizbeach, there's always a requirement of salting it. So that means that your mincha will be dipped in salt, or the komets will be dipped in salt prior to application on the mizbeach as well. Okay, so that's basically the ingredients. Now, there are a total, by my count, of 13 different types of menachos. If that number 13 includes the lechem hapanim, the showbreads, and the shtei halechem, the two loaves that are waved with the kivsi aseret, those lambs on a shavuos. The reason I'm saying if you count those, and I'm counting them, is because the psukim refer to them as menachos, the lechem hapanim and the shtei halechem, but those things do not go on the mizbeach. They're eaten by kohanim, but not going to mizbeach, and therefore they are menachos, but not themselves, not burned at all. Okay, if you include those, you get a total of 13. And the way they should be conceptually broken up is there are, you have minchas nadava, voluntary mincha that people bring because they say harei alai mincha, they commit to bring a mincha. Then you have minchas chova, scenarios in which an individual must bring a mincha for some reason. Then you have minchos tzibur, communal menachos that are brought from communal funds on behalf of the community. Those total 12. And then the 13th is called Minchas Nesachim. That means that every time you have to, essentially every time you bring a Ola or a Shlamim, there's a Nesachim that accompanies it. The Nesachim often translated as libations because there is for sure wine that comes. But in addition to the wine libation, is also like a meal offering. Okay, the Minchas Nesachim includes for every Ola and every Chatas, excuse me, every Ola and every Shlamim, includes a meal offering as well. That's the Minchas Nesachim. Okay, so those are the categories. Now, let's enumerate all 13. We're going to have 5 Minchas Nadava, 5 recipes, 5 types of voluntary mincha, 4 Minchas Chova, 4 individual obligatory menachos, and 3 Minchas Tzibur, 5 plus 4 plus 3 gives you 12, and the 13th is the Minchas Nesachim. So, what are the 5 types of Minchas Nadava? So, one is essentially a not cooked version. That's called the Minchas Soles, literally the flour mincha. And the other 4 are cooked. 2 of them are fried and 2 of them are baked. Okay, so the 2 that are fried are called the Minchas Machvas and Minchas Marcheshes. Difference being what kind of pan you fry them in. And the 2 baked ones are called Ma'afet Tanor, baked in an oven. There are 2 subcategories. You have Chalos, loaves, if you will, and Rakikin, wafers or crackers, if you will. Okay, so let's just go through those 5 right now. The Minchas Soles is wheat flour, fine wheat flour, mixed with oil. It's not cooked or baked at all. So essentially, the preparation is you put some oil in the bottom of the kli sharis. So every mincha will have kedushas peh, you'll have verbal consecration first. So you take the ingredients, your flour and your oil, etc., and just say, this is for my, verbally say, this is consecrated to be for my mincha. Then you'll get a kli sharis, a consecrated vessel in the base of Mikdash, into which you put for the recipe now I'm talking about for the mincha solis, the most basic of the menachos, is you put a little bit of oil at the bottom of the bowl, you put the flour on top, you put a little more oil on top of that. So then it's essentially have like, so to speak, like a flour, the flour sandwiches in oil layers, if you will, and you mix that together. It's called balila. The balila, the mixing of the oil and the flour, makes essentially a thick paste. It has a consistency and even color to a good degree, not unlike peanut butter, you know, not smooth peanut butter. It's oily and it's pasty, kind of like peanut butter, okay? If you actually try to make the recipe. Now, after you've mixed it up like that, so then the balila, so then you'll put a little more oil on top. It's called the yitzika, pouring oil on top. So essentially three separate times you're applying oil, if you will, at the bottom of the bowl, at the top of the flour, and then after you do balila mixing up, then yitzika on top of that paste. Then on top of the oil-covered paste, if you will, goes the kometz, a handful's amount of the lavona, the frankincense, and that's given to the kohen. The kohen then will essentially move the frankincense aside, as he always does, take a kemitza. He will extract the kometz worth of paste, and then that will go into another klisharis, and it's brought onto the mizbeach. Now, the way it's properly done is that after the kohen receives the recipe, like I call the ingredient, the mincha solis, so it's been put in a klisharis to consecrate it. Now it has kedushas haguf, it's intrinsically like a korban. He, prior to doing his kemitza, his extraction of the kometz, he will do hagasha. He will bring it in the bowl to the southwest corner of the base of the altar, mizbeach, and like kind of like clink it, as if you do like an olachaim, so to speak, clink it to the corner of the mizbeach, and then after that he'll do the extraction, pushing the levona, pulling out the kometz, and then putting the kometz and levona into another klisharis, kind of like the kabbalah of the blood. There's another klisharis, which then will go on to the mizbeach. Don't get confused. The hagasha, bringing close of the bowl prior to the kemitza, is not the same as the holacha, the bringing of the bowl containing the kometz to the mizbeach. Those are two separate things, okay? So there's the hagasha first, then there's kemitza, then there's holacha back again with just the portion that's going on the mizbeach. Okay, that is essentially how the mincha soles is done. The other ones are a little different, but let's go through them quickly here. You have the two that are fried. So the minchas machvas and minchas marcheshes. Machvas means like a kind of a griddle, like a flat pan. Marcheshes, I think, first like a deep pan. Both those, what happens is you put essentially same kind of setup. You put the ingredients into a bowl, first a layer of oil, and then you put the flour, and then you put oil on top. Do balila, mix it up. Once you've got the paste, you're actually going to add water to make it into dough. Once you have the dough, you divide it into 10 like kind of loaves. You're going to then fry them. Okay, if it's a machavas, that's like on a flat griddle, which means essentially the oil kind of runs off and the loaf of bread is kind of hard and firm. If you use it as a marchesh, it's like a kind of deep end pizza, so then the oil doesn't run away anywhere and therefore gets like softer. The loaf is softer. You have 10 of those loaves. After you finish the loaves, you're required to do psisa. You kind of crumble it up into like large crumbs. There's the yitzika, you put oil on top, lavona, and the kohen again will do a kometz. He'll reach in and take a kemitza's amount from the mixture of the psisin, not including any lavona, and then put that into klisharis with the lavona, and that goes in the mizbeach. Let me just describe for a second how the kometz looks. The kometz is a very specific size. I keep on saying handful or fistful. It's actually specifically like as follows. If you take your hand, take your right hand, take your three middle fingers, index finger, middle finger, ring finger, and fold them down over the palm of your hand such that the fingertips are touching your palm, but there's a cavity, a hollow underneath or inside the gap between your palm of your hand and those three fingers. That gap, which is almost, at least in my experience and everyone I've seen that I've tried it with, is essentially the same volume as your pinky finger. You could take your left pinky and slide on in there. Okay, it'll fit just almost, at least my hand, exactly kind of snugly underneath there. So it's the amount of that pinky's volume, the amount of flour or meal or paste or season of crumbs that fit in that gap between under the three middle fingers. Whatever's sticking out on either side, you'll use your thumb or pinky if you're the Kohen to like knock off. So it's only just the exact amount that fits inside underneath those three fingers. That is the kometz. Again, roughly the volume of a pinky. Okay. So that is how the fried ones are done. And then there's two that are baked. Okay. The two that are baked are referred to as ma'afe tanur, baked in an oven. And they can either be chalos, which are kind of like loaves. You could think basically Sephardic matzah, if you will, and rakikin, which mean crackers or wafers, and you can think essentially Ashkenazi matzah. The reason why I say matzah here is because every mincha that goes in the mizbeach is always going to be not chametz stick. It'll be essentially, you know, not chametz, so kind of like matzah. But while the rakikin, the wafers or crackers, are really similar to the Ashkenazi matzah, because you're essentially taking flour, not even putting oil with it, mixing it with water, making it into a paste, making them a dough, I should say, making 12 loaves, essentially, kind of like big matzahs, baking it in an oven, so you essentially have crackers, it'll be just like Ashkenazi matzah, and then the oil goes like on top of the matzah crackers, the rakikin, and absorb inside. And then again, you have psisa, crumbling it up, and then the Kohen will take from the crumble pieces his kometz, right, plus the lavona, which he pushes to the side. And the chalos, the loaves, so they're also not chametz stick, okay? So it's going to be a little, like, thicker, like kind of Sephardic matzah, if you will. But again, here you basically, after you bake it, also you're do psisa, break it into pieces, and then the oil goes on top, and as does the lavona. There is a bit of a machlokas between the Rashi Tosos on one side and the Rambam on the other side. If you put oil a bit of oil in the bottom layer before you prepare your chalos, okay, the Rambam says no, oil just goes on top. According to Rashi and Tosos, there's an oil bottle later before you prepare the dough. Either case, what those offerings are, essentially they're psis and they're like crumbs that have oil put on top of them, essentially one or the other, that are offered at kometz worth on the mizbeach. Okay, so that's kind of how you make these korbanos, how you offer them. That's the private ones. So there are five minchas yachid, minchas nadava, voluntary menachos, minchas solis, which is raw, and then the two that are fried, machvas and marcheshes, and the two that are baked, the chalos and rakikin. In addition, you have these four minchas chova, obligatory menachos that are brought by individuals. You have the minchas chote, the sinner's mincha. That is a very specific mincha, which is brought, it's actually brought from wheat flour, but there's no oil in this one at all, or frankincense. And it's brought for someone who has to bring the korban olav yored, that chatas offering, but not a chatas kavua, but those specific, the variable chatas, which essentially boils down to, if you remember Vayikra Hey, it's got to do with if you do one of three kinds of crimes, either A, you bring tumah to the base of Mikdash or to kachim, or B, you suppress testimony that you could have offered, swearing you don't have testimony. When you do have testimony to help your fellow Jew and you deny it and you want to do tshuva, or C, you swear falsely about something you did or didn't do or will or won't do. So then those are all severe crimes for which one should bring a chatas if he can afford it. If he can't afford it, he can bring two birds instead of bring the animal. And if he can't even afford the birds, then he can bring simple flour, wheat flour. And that is the minchas chota. The minchas chota essentially boils down to being just wheat flour, okay, with nothing else mixed in it, no frankincense and no oil. Then you have the minchas kanaos. The minchas kanaos, also known as the minchas sota, that, if you remember from Sechas Sota, is a mincha actually paid for by the husband of this woman who is his wife, who is suspected of being an adulteress. So that the basic story there, super briefly, is you need kinui and then stira. So first the husband says to his wife, puts her on formal notice, like in a formal procedure saying, I don't trust that man and I don't want you being secluded with him. That's called kinui. After that, if she is then found to have been secluded with that man, that's called stira, seclusion. And at that point, they are forbidden to live together as husband and wife until the matter is clarified, which either comes from her confessing sin or proving her innocence through this drinking of the mei sota, the sota waters. But during the process in the Beis Hamikdash, there's a mincha which is brought and she essentially holds it. He pays for it, she holds it. That's called the minchas kanaos, or the minchas sota. It's brought not from wheat flour, but instead from barley flour. Okay, it doesn't have oil, it doesn't have doesn't have lavona, so it's like a minchas chota, but barley instead of wheat, essentially, not so far on the ground. Then you have the minchas chaviten. This is the third of the four obligatory menachos. This is brought by the Kohen Gadol. Every day, the Kohen Gadol has to at least pay for 12 loaves that are made essentially from flour, oil, and water. He pays for it. He can bring it. Someone else can bring it. Half of the loaves, and half of the 12 are brought in the morning, half in the afternoon, every single day. That's the Kohen Gadol's Korban. That's called the Minchas Chaviten. And finally, the Minchas Chinuch, the inaugural Mincha. This is for a Kohen. Every Kohen, the very first day he serves in the Beis HaMikdash, he'll bring a Mincha, and that Mincha is called the Minchas Chinuch. Okay? When a Kohen brings a Mincha, so the Mincha is totally burned, not just the Kometz amount. When a non-Kohen brings the Mincha, so then just the Kometz is burned and the rest is eaten by Kohanim. So now we've said the four Minchos Chova, obligatory Menachos, the Minchas Chota, that variable offering for those who can't afford for those three sins, the Minchas Kanaos or Sota, the Sota procedure, the Minchas Chavit and the Kohen Gadol brings every day in 12 loaves, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, and the Minchas Chinuch that a Kohen brings once in his life, the first day he serves in the Beis HaMikdash. So we had five Nedavos, voluntary, and four Chova, obligatory. That brings us to nine. Now we have the three Minchos Tzibur, that are the communal fund paid for Menachos. The first is the Minchas HaOmer on the second day of Pesach. That night, they go and harvest the first of the barley crop. They turn it into an Omer, very finely sifted, but barley flour, and which is brought as a Mincha on that second day of Pesach. And this is with oil and has Lavona, and it is what permits the Chadash, the new crop for the new year, all the grain of new crop for consumption by the people. So that's the Minchas Omer. Then you have the Lechem HaPanim. Lechem HaPanim is the showbread that sit from Shabbos to Shabbos on the Shulchan, the Kli, in the Kodesh, inside the sanctuary, the Ulam, the Heichal of the sanctuary in the Beis HaMikdash. So Lechem HaPanim, none of it goes on the Mizbeach. It's all eaten by the Kohanim. However, there are two bezichin, two spoons, large spoons, that are holding Lavona, the frankincense, and the frankincense, and the bezichin is indeed offered in the Mizbeach. That's the matir which permits the 12 loaves to be eaten by the incoming and outgoing Kohanim that are serving that week. And finally, you have the Shtei HaLechem. The third of the Minchas Tzibur is the two loaves of bread that are brought on Shavuos. These are actually made from wheat instead of barley, like the Omer was. And it's also leavened. It rises like two loaves. So therefore, it cannot go on the Mizbeach. But it is waved along with the Kivtzei Aseres, these two lambs that are brought on Shavuos. And the offering of the lambs permits the eating of the loaves of bread, and the Kohanim eat those loaves of bread. Okay, so again, those are the three Minchas Tzibur. You have the Minchas HaOmer on the second day of Pesach from barley. You have the Lechem HaPanim that is every Shabbos, and with the Bezichin that are Matirat, and the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves that are waved on Shavuos with that fancy, that very special korban, that's the one Shalmei Tzibur on Shavuos, the two lambs, Kivtzei Atzeret, and the loaves are eaten by the Kohanim. So that you've got now five Minchas Nedava, plus four Minchas Chova, plus three Minchas Tzibur, gives you to 12. And the 13th type is the Minchas Nesachim, the accompanying Mincha, which is comes with every single Ola and Shlamim, and a couple other Karbonos as well, like the Metzora has. And so basically there, again, you're going to have potentially larger recipes. It could be, depending on what you're bringing here, it could be more than Isaron. It could be, if you bring a bull, so then essentially you're going to have three Isaron. If it's a ram, a male sheep in its second year, essentially 1 year, 1 month, 1 day old, then it is going to be two Isaronot. And if it's going to be a sheep in its first year or a goat, then it's one Isaron of flour. And you also mix oil. The oil depends on what kind of animal. If it's a cow, then you have essentially, it's half a hin. If it's a ram, it's a third of a hin. If it's a goat or a sheep in its first year, it's a quarter of a hin. The hin essentially is half of an eifel. Okay, whatever. So that's different numbers. Whatever it is, the hin is 12 lug. So basically it boils down to being, for a cow, it's 6 lug of oil. And for a ram, it's 4 lug of oil. And for a a goat or young sheep, it's 3 loaves of oil. Okay, so mixed up and offered on the Mizbeach also. Also with the Lavona, also with the salting, the same as before. Aside from those 13 types, in theory, a person could volunteer to do just, technically, he could just do like a Minchas Nesachim without actual accompanying korban. Bei Pasi can even commit to just bring oil by itself, or wine by itself, lalacha, or as korbanos as well. Okay, so that is essentially the possibilities of what the menachos are and how you do them. And as I said, that the procedure, let's kind of just sum it up one more time, then we're going to end this here. The procedure is for all them, verbal decoration ingredients, kedushas peh, putting in the klisharis, kedushas haguf, the preparation, according to the recipe, which can be done by the bialim, the owner who's bringing it, then the delivering of that klisharis to the kohen. The kohen will do hagasha lechalchila, bringing it to the corner of the southwest corner of the mizbeach. After that, he does the kamitza, the nesina bakli, the holacha, and the haktara after salting it, and that essentially is how the mincha is done and the types of minachas there are. I think that's a good introduction. The mesechta is hard to sort of describe its structure. The first 3 prakim really parallel the first 3 prakim of or 4 prakim of zvachim, very very similar. And after that, we're going to go through essentially the procedures on how you properly do each of the various types of minachos. So bez Hashem, now we will begin mesechas. Menachos, Perak Aleph, Mishnah Aleph.